Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? I hope you're doing well. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, we appreciate you for checking out the show. My guest this time around is the excellent Ted of the band Don't Panic. Ted and Don't Panic have a brand new UK tour coming up very, very soon. So make sure you go and get tickets for that. Get down to a show if you can. I'd like to do a massive, huge shout out to their PR people, Jamie, for sorting this one out for us. This is a great conversation, and I feel like I may have shortchanged Ted a little bit because I done back-to-back interviews when I recorded this. Generally speaking, I don't do that, but there was no other way of recording both podcasts in the same evening. So I would love to have Ted back on the show. So if you're listening back to this, my man, I'd love to have you back on the show. I'd love to delve a little bit deeper into the mind of your good self and what Don't Panic do. But that being said, this is still a fantastic conversation. We still ask lots of cool questions. We have lots of cool insight. So yeah, it's just a good podcast, so hopefully you enjoy that. If you do enjoy the show, make sure you show us some love on social media. Go over to our Instagram and Facebook. We also do a little bit of stuff on TikTok. I haven't done it for a little while, but that's all over there. And also, we have a brand new YouTube channel where myself and Rebecca go out and do stuff. We go out and do vlogs and things. It's called Nevermind Matt. Go and check it out. It's all over there on YouTube. But if you don't want to do any of that, that's fine. Just listen to the podcast with the excellent Ted of the band Don't Panic. Enjoy. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this time around, I'm speaking to an artist and a band who I am relatively new to, but it's been brought to my attention by their lovely PR people, and I've been obsessed with them since I discovered them a couple of weeks back. I'm talking to Ted of the band Don't Panic. How are you doing, sir? How's things?
Good, man. I'm great. First, I want to thank you for calling me an artist. That's very nice of you.
Well, there
very
we go.
very generous. And I'm very excited to hear that you dig in our stuff. That's awesome.
Absolutely. I like to think, this is very arrogant of me as well, straight away being arrogant, dickhead is normal. I like to think that I kind of got a good grasp on like a lot of music. But The truth is, there is a lot more music than there is time in the day. So
yeah.
It's kind of one of those things, Spotify, Apple, things like that. It's great because it has access to everything. But also, I think as humans, we're kind of conditioned to go back to what we like. So it's kind
for
of
sure.
Difficult to like try and find new music and get sourced out. And that is the real joy of having doing this podcast over the last 4 years. As I get sent things, have you heard this band? I'm like, no, I haven't. Let's listen to it. Fucking amazing. Here we go. Like, and it's my new favorite thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
How do you find discovering new artists, new music? How do you find that stuff?
I'm kind of the same as what you were saying a lot of the times, where I just kind of listen to the stuff I've always listened to. And I'm pretty dug in. And then most of the time I find new bands and new artists and all that kind of stuff from playing out, playing on tour, playing shows. And we wind up playing a show with a band, or I'll be somewhere and there's a band playing. I still really get a lot of my new music from live. I don't often find a new artist that I just happened upon while I was running through streaming sites, because I don't really do that much. I use Apple Music,
yeah,
and I kind of just have my stuff loaded up onto my phone. I just listen to my music. Now and then I'll like fall asleep listening to like a No Use for a Name record, and all of a sudden some other band will come on. Like, they do that where it'll be like, their album's over, you might like this. And then sometimes I'll hear something like, oh, it's pretty cool. But most of the time, it's either a friend of mine or one of the guys in my band will be like, you got to check this band out, and they'll send me a song. Or I'll find a band just on tour. I'll see them play live. I'll think they're awesome. Or they'll be on tour with a friend's band that I went to go hang out with, and I thought that band was awesome. You know, so it's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of tour, you are about to embark on a headline tour, co-headline tour with Thomas Nicholson Band, joint headliner. How is tour prep coming along? I know that's a bit of a loaded question, but how's kind of that whole situation, the time before tour, how's that all going?
It's great. Well, for starters, we're actually going on a tour before that tour also. It starts in a couple days.
Oh, amazing.
So I'm basically like right after this weekend, I'm going to be on tour all the way till God knows when. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of preparing for multiple tours right now. The UK tour we're doing, I did a little more like I did stuff a little bit before because it's a lot more stuff going into it. We got to get flights and we rented a van and we've got, you know, making sure our gear is sorted. And there's so much stuff that goes into it, you know, getting our passes printed out and doing the VIP posters and getting the merch printed up. So it's like, you know, it's a whole thing where, you know, in the States, we kind of just load our crap up in the van and we go. And, you know, when you're going overseas, there's a lot more other things you have to worry about, work visas and, you know, all the fun stuff. So, but I'm happy to say we've got basically everything sorted. We're just kind of waiting around now, gearing up, getting ready to go over there. So we're getting real excited.
Absolutely. That's the thing as well. I want to say on behalf of everyone kind of in Europe and the UK, I appreciate any kind of band from the States, Australia, any of these kind of countries where they could just tour their own native countries and be happy doing that. Because especially in America and Canada and things like that, it's so fucking big. And my brain can't sometimes comprehend how big the countries are where bands can just make a living and make a killing just by doing America. They don't need to per se to get, because that's the thing, there's a lot of kind of not to get political, but like there's a lot of ball like things that have come into play with Brexit and things like that in terms of bands coming over to the UK. So I personally, as a music fan, appreciate it when bands make the effort, because, you know, it's a lot, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the effort has to do with the fact that we just want to do it. Like, we want to, you know, we want to go experience something cool. And you know, you don't make, I grew up in the punk rock scene as a kid and touring DIY tours and playing in fire halls and basements. And, you know, it was always kind of like, we never did it to, you know, turn a profit or anything. So it's like, when we come to the UK, like, man, we might lose some money, but we just want to do it because we want to have some fun. We want to meet some new people. We've got a lot of fans over there. So we want to be able to see, have them have the opportunity to see us. And man, you live one life. So let's have some fun with it. You know, let's go do some cool stuff. Hell, we haven't even been to everywhere in the United States. It, like you said,
you know what? I was just thinking that. I was looking on the social media when I was doing the notes for the podcast and stuff, and there's things like you've the first time in Wales, I think it is. You guys are
We've never been to Wales. This is our first time.
Wales is incredible. I will warn you, the Welsh are lovely but also mental, like a bit like the Scottish in that way. And I say that as a proud Englishman saying the other two nations are a bit wacky and zany, but no, they're absolutely lovely. But just bring a raincoat, bring like, because it rains a lot here.
I was kind of wondering. we were back, we were in the UK last February on tour, and it wasn't as cold as I was worried it would be. So I was wondering what March is going to be like in the UK, but I figured March to May is probably just like even more rain than normal or something, you know. I'm not 100% sure how to prepare.
It's one of those weird things where sometimes it can be like really, really lovely sunshine. Other times it can be rain. Like maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, we literally got like winds and like snow from Siberia. We got literally like, so I'm where I am now is I'm like in the arse end of nowhere. So East Anglia, we're totally flat. So when global warming happens, we are fucked because we're just going to get like, we're literally like the lowest point in sea level. But you know what? It's fine. It'll be all right. But the point I'm trying to say is like the fact we had this loads of snow and stuff, it was just absolutely mad. But yeah, I forgot what my point was. Basically, just prepare for tour in the UK because you need coats and shit.
We're bringing them. Don't worry.
So that kind of leads me to my next question is, so you're heading out on tour in a couple of days across the States and things. What is one thing you cannot live without on tour? So if you imagine you're packing your bag of just your bare essentials that you need like every day, what's the one thing you're double checking that you've definitely packed?
My laptop, honestly. I need my laptop. It's got everything for the tour. It's got everything for, you know, when I work on the road too, so I have to stay on top of everything social media, like, so it's for our band and stuff, and just having all of the everything on my laptop, it's like super important to me. But I just have like my backpack has got like all my normal essentials, you know. Yeah. I've got my AirPods, got my water bottle, mm-hmm. my laptop, a toothbrush. Toothbrush is really important.
Yeah, I mean, see that, man, you don't, it's the little things that I think and when I say normal people, I mean people who aren't in bands, you know, because everyone like that's how I define normal people who aren't in bands. Things, it's things that we as normal people who aren't in bands just take for granted. You wake up, brush your teeth, you get dressed, whatever. But if you're in a band, like, if you forget that thing, it's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Forgetting your toothbrush is the worst. Yeah,
it's like just a mad thing.
Yeah. Just like your deodorant and like all that kind of stuff that I always keep that. So like in my backpack, I usually have, you know, I call it like my day bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
And I get a lot of that from anytime you tour in a tour bus. And we're not going to be in a bus on this tour, but every time I have, your suitcase goes in the bottom, like under mm-hmm. the bays.
Yeah.
So when you're on the bus while it's driving, sometimes it drives for 7-8 hours. You want to have your essentials in your backpack. That way you don't have to keep going down under the bays every time the bus stops to get your thing out of your bag. So my backpack's always got my pajamas, mm-hmm. my toiletries bag, my laptop, and then like a pair of shorts to throw on if I want to like walk around. So I always just still have that in my backpack as just like a force of habit.
Yeah,
so
I love that.
Just my backpack in general, super important.
I love that. In terms of when you, I guess this kind of applies a little bit more when you're in the van rather than on the bus, but what's going on in terms of the van / the bus? Because again, as a normal person who's not in a band, I imagine there's a lot of kind of like music being played, podcasts being listened to. What is there kind of a dichotomy in terms of like how you arrange that stuff? Because some people, when I'm driving, for example, I love to listen to a podcast or I love to listen to a full album. Well, I'm not a playlist kind of guy. Where do you kind of sit on that as a band and you personally? Are you playlisting? Are you albuming? What's your kind of thing with that?
So number one rule, especially when because we drive ourselves in the States, obviously. Mm. Number one rule in the van is the driver chooses the audio. So if you're the driver for that shift, you get to pick what you want to listen to. And then everyone kind of picks their own different stuff. So if I'm the driver, typically I'll put on a podcast. I like podcasts. I like listening to that kind of stuff driving, less than music. When you're the driver, most people in the van aren't talking to you. They're all kind of doing their own thing, having conversations, playing a Nintendo, whatever they're doing. And so I like to like listen to other people talk and almost feel like I'm in the conversation. So I have like a bunch of podcasts that I really love to listen to. But if I'm listening to music, it's usually full albums. I don't do playlists either. I have full records and I'm like, I want to listen to this record and this record. I think most of the guys in my band are like that. The only one who's not is Keith, our bass player. When he drives, he does a playlist where he just has like the most random mix of stuff that you'll ever, like it'll be like, you'll hear Minor Threat and then the next song's like, you know, freaking James Brown, and then it's going to be the Beach Boys, and then it's like some hardcore band. It's like, it's all over the place. So it's just, it's really eclectic mix of music. But for the most part, podcasts for me, sometimes listen to like old episodes of Howard Stern. That's a big one that we put on. I love, I don't know if you know like Tom Segura and all the comedian, like that Your Mom's House crew, but that's like my favorite podcast to listen to. So I listen to a lot of that kind of stuff.
Amazing stuff. Amazing. So when I get the opportunity, I like to take my artists right back to the very beginning and find out what it was the initial spark that got you into music. So I wanted to ask, when did you first pick up the guitar? When did you first start to sing? Was music prevalent in your house when you're growing up? How did that all kind of start for you?
Okay. So my dad is a guitarist / singer. He would play cover songs at bars, on weekends to make extra money. So he'd do Beatles and Tom Petty and, all that kind of stuff. So, when I was little, now and then my mom would take me and my brother to a place he was playing for a little while. We'd watch him play. I never was like, then I was young. I was, up until about 10 years old. I wasn't really into like playing the music, but I did enjoy, like I loved the Beatles and I loved all that kind of music. Then when we moved, we lived in New York and then we moved to Pennsylvania. And when I moved to Pennsylvania, I wound up joining a singing boys choir.
Amazing.
So, So I did that for when I was 11 till about 12 or 13. I did it for about 2 years. And, I really learned how to sing for real, like in this choir. And we toured all over. We went to Japan for a month. We toured in Japan. And so we did a whole bunch of that kind of stuff. I ultimately didn't like it, but it did teach me how to sing. Mm. And then And then after I was into singing, right around 1998-99, I started to get into like punk rock music and also some like radio stuff. And actually the first record that came out that made me want to like learn how to play the record on the guitar was A Place in the Sun by Lit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I loved this band so much. And I was like, I want to learn how to play this. So I bought, I would sneak my dad's acoustic guitar out of his room, like while he wasn't home at work. And I'd like learn how to play like notes. I completely taught myself. I never learned, no one ever taught me how to play music.
Amazing.
And then eventually my parents bought me like a Fender Squire, like one of those like Squire, like black and white, like Eric Clapton looking guitars. And then my brother wanted to play with me. So he got a drum kit. And our friend Ian, who lived down the street, bought a bass. And we're like, all right, let's start a band. We were, you know, 14, yeah. 15 years old. And, you know, we were just doing covers. And like, we learned Blink-182 and Lit and, you know, old stuff like Creedence Clearwater Revival and Steppenwolf. And, you know, like we were learning like whatever we could learn.
Amazing.
And yeah. And eventually we started writing our own songs. And then we started playing in an original band, playing, you know, this is like late 90s, early 2000s, and just playing at fire halls and all that kind of stuff, and kind of learning about like the punk rock scene and meeting other bands, and kind of just kept growing from there.
Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. I love all that, because I think it's really interesting to see kind of where the potential of where it kind of falls off a cliff. With punk rock, I suppose you don't fall off a cliff so much, but I've chatted to like a lot of metal bands, and they're like, we start off with this, and then suddenly they're right down the rabbit hole. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like that. You know, we, like I said, we were doing, the original thought was like, all right, we'll do kind of like what our dad did. Like we'll learn cover songs, we'll play at places. And then all of a sudden, like we went to, I got a flyer for a show at the local skate park. I was in high school, and it said like, you know, bands playing at the local skate park or whatever. And we were like, oh, what is this? Like, we didn't know bands could do it. So like we went, and there's these bands, and they were playing like fast, like music, and they were jumping around, and we're like, whoa, like this is awesome. Like, this is what we want to do. And it's just like 50 kids like bouncing into each other and jumping around, you know? And then I started to learn about, you know, I always liked Green Day and like, you know, that kind of stuff, but I didn't really know about like Fat Records you know, all those like underground kind of music at that time. And then once I learned about that, I was like, no, this is what's cool. Like, I like this a lot more. And I just kind of fell in love with it. And, you know, me and my brother and our buddy Ian, like, we just like dove head first. As soon as we saw that first show, we started booking our own fire hall shows, started renting out fire halls ourselves and inviting friends. And we started trading shows with people in New Jersey and, you know, Vermont. And we started driving all over the place. And it was just like a drug. It just never stopped after that.
I love that. I love that. So Setting Up to Fail, which is the name of your album, which came out in mid-2023, it's had some time to settle with the fans. And I appreciate fans can be of two camps. You can have the knee-jerk reaction, which is a lot of people on the internet, and they go either, this is the greatest thing ever, or this is dog shit. You need to go and like jump off the bridge. Like, you know, and that's totally fine to some degree, I guess. But I like to, again, let things just settle. Let something seep into you. What's the reaction been like, and how has that reaction kind of settled down now it's kind of been out for a little while?
So luckily for us, like the reaction you're talking about where people are like, oh, this fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen a lot on the smaller band scale, because the people who like, you know, our band are just like diehards. They love our band and they're excited about it. So when we get reactions from them, they're just usually excited that we put out new music, and like, yeah, this is great. We love it. And I'm sure they do love it, but you know, the bigger the band, the more people are going to be like, oh, this isn't like their old stuff. You know, we're a fairly new band still. And so we're still kind of developing what we sound like and what, you know, what people expect from us. There's not a lot. And we've kept, you know, every record we've released, we've kept it so that it's fairly open musically. We can kind of do whatever we want to an extent, and people are not surprised by what we're doing, where it's like, you know, there's a legacy band that's been doing something for a really long time and they change. Then people go like, oh, that's not what they used to sound like, and they get upset. So luckily, we still have a lot of that stretch in our music writing. I would say, I mean, yeah, the response for this one has just been overwhelmingly positive. Everyone who hears it loves it, which I love. It means a lot to me. And, you know, everyone says it, but I truly think it is that, you know, the newest music that we've done is our best stuff. I think we improve every album. And we get a little bit more honed in on to what our band sounds like and where we want to go directionally. So I feel like this new record that we put out in August is like, this is what our band sounds like. Like, I think we're here. I think like this is what we want to do. And, you know, we're going to keep expanding on that. But I'm really happy that people dig it. And I'm excited about it. I like it, you know, like, and that's what I love. I'm making the music for everyone, but I'm making it for me too. Where it's got to be something that's like satisfying for me to do. And I want to be able to listen to my own record and be like, yeah, this is cool. I like this song, you know, and enjoy it. So that's important to me too.
Absolutely. So I've never been in a band or anything like that, but I've been kind of in the creative kind of space in terms of YouTube, podcasts, things like that since 2016. And basically from 2016 to 2020, I did like YouTube content in terms of like festival things, reviews, things like that. And like the pandemic kind of happened. So I was like, right, you know, nothing's happening, so fine. Had a bit of a I say this very lightly with the tongue in my cheek, a mental breakdown, but it's fine, I'm over it, I'm a lot happier. But the point is, I'm now 4 years later, I'm back at making kind of stuff, and I'm right back at the bottom, and it's like, this is the most fulfilling thing, because it's like all of that stuff that was before is kind of like, I didn't worry about that, I can now build it back up. And I think that's kind of similar to how you said, like, it's a case of like, when you just try and you put something positive into the world, it's just a good thing. And if people are going to be negative, let them be negative. Do you know what I mean?
If people don't like our music, that's totally fine. I don't really care. Like they don't have to listen to it. There's lots of music I don't like, and I just don't listen to it. And I don't hate on the bands. I just go, it's not my thing. I don't want to go see them or hear them. But I'm making the music for me and for the rest of the guys in the band and for the people who do like it. And the people who are fans and people who want to be excited about it, like, it's for you. So if you dig it, come hang out, see the show, buy an album. If you don't, that's cool too. You know, I'll see you next time, or we'll see you at a show. Maybe we both like the same band, and I'll see you over there.
Absolutely.
So, I'm totally fine with whatever.
Is there any particular songs on the record that has made an impression that maybe you might not have expected? Because again, I'm a lover of music, right? And again, listening to a full album, and sometimes I think, I don't know, it's like maybe track 7, track 8 on an album, which you as an artist have done and gone, yeah, I'm happy with that, but it's not the lead single. And then people are going, oh no, this is the song. And you're like, that's the song apparently that everyone's sort of gravitating towards, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think I am extremely bad at choosing what would be a single all the time. Like every time the song that I want to do is like, it's almost never the one that everyone else likes. So I've stopped actually picking.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the way we do it is, you know, like most people have been doing it recently. And I learned this after, you know, coming back to playing music full time, because I did take a break for a while, is that you just kind of release your songs now as you go. So you're like, here's a single, here's a couple weeks, here's another single, and then eventually you put a record out, the rest of it, you know. So what we've been doing is kind of releasing songs a little bit at a time, and eventually we'll find one that people like really gravitated towards, and we'll be like, okay, this will be the song that we do a music video for, and this will be the, you know, this is the one we'll invest a little more effort into. You know, on our very first album, like the full length we did, we had, to keep it short, we had a bunch of old songs that we had never like truly recorded properly. And let's just do all those. And it was like from an old EP and stuff. And we're just like, for our first full length, like, just redo those. And maybe we'll write a couple extra songs. And then as that was happening, I was writing more and more songs. I was like, all right, the old songs started to slowly get bumped out as we were recording, and the new songs started to fill the catalog. And there was one song, once we went to the studio, we had 10, and there was 11th song that was kind of like sitting in the back, and I was like, I don't even want to record it. And then our buddy Joe from this band Patent Pending came, and he like helped like write some of the songs with us, and he heard that one. He's like, well, what was that one? And I was like, that's just like a crappy one that, you know, we're not gonna do it probably. He's like, no, let's work on that one. Worked on it. It was the most popular song on the record, like by far. And it's like, oh, I guess I really misjudged that one. And then it happens every time. So it's really hard to know like what the best song is on this newest album. See, I've got the ones that I love. And then people will be like, no, that's my favorite one. It's like song 8, like that we put in the back. I tried to like top load it, so it's like all my favorite, all the songs we thought were the best are on the front half, and then the other ones are good, but those are all in the back half. So if you want to really dig in, you can listen to those later. And a lot of people are going towards the back and be like, I actually really like this song. There's one called El Dorado on the new album. It's a little faster and a little more like, again, No Use for a Name. It's like a Mill and Colin, like some of my favorite bands. And it's a little more like that way. And a lot of people are like, oh, I actually really like that song a lot. And then a lot of people are like, actually, I really like the first song a lot. On the very first song on the record is called Photographs. And then some people are like, well, I like The Long Way. I like this one. You know, it happens a lot too, where everyone says something different. And I'll be like, I don't even know what to pick anymore. Like everyone's, you know, so we usually just let our friends pick and we'll be like, what do you think the best song is? And we'll have like ask like five people and we'll be like, all right, that one.
Amazing.
It's hard, man. It's hard.
I love that. So you've got a lot of live shows booked for 2024. The album is less than 6 months old, but I don't call myself a journalist, but I wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't ask, have you got anything else cooking at the moment?
Musically.
Yes, of course. I mean, have you got a bacon sandwich on the go? Like maybe
you know, our bass player Keith is a chef, so I wasn't sure. So right now, since we just released this record in August, and we didn't really tour a lot after the album came out, we did like since the album's come out, we've played like 8 shows. Like we were really top heavy in the beginning of last year touring a ton. And then we had a record come out and then it kind of slowed down. We did like a couple shows in October. We did a couple shows in December. And then we played a couple shows this past January. So not a lot. So this year's really full touring schedule is basically going to be us promoting this new record, which, you know, we're still considering new.
Yeah.
However, we have other things that we're starting to like come up with and work on. Not new music, but what we're going to do, we have 2 plans. The first one is we're going to do a cover EP. We did one 2 years ago. People really loved it, where we each picked one song. We recorded it, and you know, we just released them online. So we're going to do that again. This time, the way we chose the songs is the song had to be a number one on the year you were born.
Oh, amazing. I love that.
Yeah. So the you know, we've got some interesting ones on there that we're going to be recording and releasing. And I like it too, because it forces us to kind of step outside our comfort zone and try and be creative. So, you know, we're going to be doing basically a bunch of 80s songs as the next cover EP. And then we're also talking about doing an acoustic like EP also, where we're going to take like a couple songs from each record and rearrange them and make them like acoustic songs and maybe write one brand new acoustic song to kind of tie it together. So do like a 6 song acoustic thing or something like that. So as far as recording, that's the 2 plans for this year, on top of just like tons of touring.
Amazing stuff. Ted, this has been super fun. Thank you so much for your time. I must be honest with you, I've got an interview lined up in 5 minutes, which I need to jump on. So what I will say to you is I've had loads of fun doing this. So I'd love to do a part 2 where we go a bit more in depth and things if you're up for that in the future.
But yeah, I'd love to.
It's a question I ask every single artist who's been gracious enough to give me their time, like your good self. It's a very simple question, but it's very personal to you. What is the best thing about being in a band for you?
Oh, yeah, that's a hard one to answer. Honestly, the best thing about making music and playing music and touring and being in a band is just honestly for me is that it's like self-fulfilling. It makes me happy. It makes me feel like I'm getting something out that needs to come out. It's almost like a therapy, where instead of going to a therapist, I get to write down how I feel and you get to hear it.
Yeah.
So it's a very personal experience, but shared publicly. And I don't know. It feels like it gives me, and it sounds cheesy, but it gives me meaning to wait every, it gives me a reason to wake up every day and be like, I can't wait to do this thing. I can't wait to like write a song, or I can't wait to go on tour, or I can't wait to make a new merch design or whatever, all the stuff. I love every aspect about it because it's like a fulfilling thing for me.
I love that. I love that.
You know.
So yeah, Don't Panic, which is a fucking great name, by the way, which is what I need to tell myself every time I do a fucking interview, is Don't Panic. they're just a person who at the other end of a call. It's fine. But yeah. What I would say is go and check them out on a UK tour. If you're in the States, if you're a States listener, they are doing loads of stuff over there as well. So go and check them over there. Any final words, any final thoughts you need to get off your chest or anything?
I hope you come out to a show on the tour, man. If you're free, yeah. come hang out at your closest date. And, you're going to be doing a bunch more tour dates in the US and the UK. So, please come see us live. That's where the most fun.
Lovely job. Lovely job. Thank you so much, mate. Part two incoming, I'm sure, in the near future.
This has been
awesome. Thanks, mate. Speak soon, everybody. Buddy.